Good day, everyone. It is March 4th, 2024. Pete Hofstra here with an update on North American equity markets. A good month. February certainly was pretty strong, though it didn't necessarily look like it was going to be that way. Some of the inflation data in the U.S. was a bit stronger than expected, and that rattled markets with the idea that at least rate cuts are going to be postponed. And chatter of, you know, do we need another rate hike before inflation is tamed? And keep in mind, we've talked about sort of this tug of war between, you know, interest rates, inflation, and economic growth. And the only way we're going to get a soft landing, frankly, is if we cut interest rates before the economy softens. And that's only going to happen if inflation continued to trend lower. And so there's a bit of a hiccup. That means, you know, they can't lower rates potentially, and they're going to have to cause some economic softness before inflation does actually get subdued. So when you see that sort of inflation scare, that's sort of the risk that reverberates through. But we got overwhelmed by some great news out of tech earnings. So a lot of the earnings from last year are in. Certainly the technology spend looks very strong. Artificial intelligence is all the rage. NVIDIA had great numbers. Thankfully, it's a big position for a lot of people and certainly one well held at CI. So good to see them come through. And our view really is that the spend is quite strong. So what I did want to share with you is last week, had a great trip back and forth between San Francisco and Seattle, visiting company after company, and was actually able to see six of the Magnificent Seven. The only one we didn't see was Alphabet or Google. But did see Amazon, Apple, Meta, Microsoft, NVIDIA, and Tesla, as well as other names like Airbnb, Instacart, Pinterest, a company called Arm, which does low-power microprocessors or CPUs. So a great smattering, some equipment, semiconductor equipment makers. So great trip, great to get insights and hear different people's views of the spend. And really one of the things we wanted to get our mind around is, you know, this GPU spend that's happening in the data center to support AI, you know, is that the only answer? Is it GPUs forever? Are we going to go back and replace all the old CPUs, which were the workhorse for those of you that have followed this? The x86 CPU has been the workhorse of the PC industry as well as the data center for decades, frankly. And so, you know, is this a real change across the board or is this really AI focused? And then, of course, are the AI use cases really bringing benefits? So is the spend going to continue? That's only going to happen if sort of corporations, individuals are seeing the benefit from it. And what I can tell you when you aggregate it all, you know, there is a bit of hype in there, but a lot is extremely real. I mean, the use cases to start there are just phenomenal on what these training engines can do. When you think of a company like Pinterest, you know, they say they brought in some AI engineers to sort of tweak the model and said it's just staggering how much they can improve engagement, but also conversion, right? So people are spending more time because they're getting more relevant content, but also then more likely to transact. And so certainly you're seeing economic benefit to things like that. Similar with an Airbnb or even an Instacart, which, you know, is certainly a bit of a COVID story. But if they have got all of the grocery delivery figured out and they can do that across all kinds of different grocers, you know, think of that data set. So they've got the recommenders, the replacement things. If you're buying this, you might want that, let alone if grocery stores have excess inventory of something and want to move it. So, you know, these inferencing engines or these recommenders in the case of these, it's quite remarkable what we're seeing. And Microsoft doing a great job with their Copilot and customizing Copilot for different verticals. So recently, last week, they announced one that's specific to the financial market, but they're seeing tremendous progress. When it comes to coding is a big one, so we don't necessarily like computer coding. We don't necessarily see that directly, but these co-pilots can basically convert English language into computer code. And so the productivity that you can gain out of that is quite remarkable. So the use cases are there. They are successful, which supports the spend. Probably the bit that is a bit of hype is NVIDIA claiming, GPUs are going to replace all the old CPUs. There's training data. I mean, if people are curious, we can spend more time on this at a different date. But there's sort of training data. There's inferencing. There's generative AI. The training is very GPU intensive. Things like inferencing can be done with a CPU, and it's still a good general purpose, you know, compute unit, the CPU. Anyway, so data centers are not going to be ripped out and GPUs everywhere. But the demand to train data and therefore the demand for CPUs is very, very strong. And so we certainly believe in the NVIDIA story Another interesting one on training. So Tesla is always an interesting one. I actually got to drive a Cybertruck. So yes, there's certainly perks to being in this occupation. Always things to learn, but sometimes you get to try out some new things. I'm not sure I'd buy a Cybertruck, but yeah, it was great to actually drive one. But when you think about, these large language models and the training of data, again, won't necessarily go too much into this, but the more you have a right answer, the easier it is to train data. So when we heard about Google teaching a computer to play Go, that's fairly straightforward in the sense that there's infinite permutations the computer has to get through, but you can teach it what the outcome is, right? You win or lose the game, right? And so you can basically say, here's what winning looks like, here's what losing looks like, go train yourself. When you think about autonomous driving, I think I'm a good driver, but ask my wife, ask people who've ridden with me, right? So it's harder to get a good definition of what a good driver might be. But these training models, what they can do is you take things like robotics, and robots are very good at doing routine tasks. When you think in an automotive or manufacturing environment, particularly good when there's rigid pieces, like pieces of steel or metal, where they don't do as good a job as when there's a lot of dexterity or softer materials. So think a gasket or a piece of foam or something that's there to dampen vibrations. But what they can do now is they can put humans in these suits that are covered in sensors and just go about their job, and they can collect all the data from the humans, and whether that's, painting, putting in screws, doing some assembly work, and just use the data from all of those sensors to train the robots. You don't necessarily have to write lines of code and saying, hey, robot, when you get here, put this there, tighten this, and right, you actually have this thing self-teach from a collection of data. And version 12, which is now in Tesla's of autonomous driving software, has a lot of that built in. Instead of trying to write code and say, if you see a stop sign, do this, and a red light means do this, they basically have eight cameras on the car. They track all that data. They track the speed, the steering wheel position, the pedal position, and they can have the computer self-teach itself to drive, but they know what good outcomes and bad outcomes look like. And so that whole model, which is kind of what the LLM, the large language models, have sort of empowered us to do across different areas, that just creates all kinds of fantastic possibilities. So anyway, that's a bit of a long spiel, but yeah, certainly exciting stuff. Was a great trip. Very convinced that the AI spend will continue. The productivity benefits are going to come through, which is just supportive of further spending and good for that whole industry. Anyway, I'll leave it there. But look forward to connecting with you in a month or so. Take care.
This podcast is provided as a general source of information and should not be considered personal, legal, accounting, tax, or investment advice, or construed as an endorsement or recommendation of any entity or security discussed. Investors should seek the advice of professionals prior to implementing any changes to their investment. Certain statements in this podcast are forward-looking that are predictive in nature, depend upon, or refer to future events or conditions. Forward-looking statements are subject to risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that could cause actual results to differ materially from those set forth. Although the forward-looking statements contained herein are based upon what CI Global Asset Management and the portfolio manager believe to be reasonable assumptions, neither CI Global Asset Management nor the portfolio manager can assure that actual results will be consistent with these forward-looking statements. Certain statements contained in this podcast are based in whole or in part on information provided by third parties, and CI Global Asset Management has taken reasonable steps to ensure their accuracy. Market conditions may change, which may impact the information contained in this podcast. Commissions, trailing commissions, management fees, and expenses all may be associated with mutual fund investments. Please read the prospectus before investing. The indicated rates of return are the historical annual compounded total returns, net of fees and expenses payable by the fund, including changes in security value and reinvestment of all dividends or distributions, and do not take into account sales, redemption, distribution, or optional charges or income taxes payable by any security holder that would have reduced returns. Mutual funds are not guaranteed, their values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated.